In that Isaiah, I'm not going to turn there, but in chapter 10, about, I'd say, verse 24 through 27, you can read it later. It's a setting where the Antichrist, the Assyrian, you know, Alan's got a book on that subject. That's one of the Antichrist's names, is the Assyrian. It has been ruling over the Jewish people. And we can, if we read about the Great Tribulation, we know it's a tremendous, difficult time for that nation. And in the scripture, the Lord says he's going to break that yoke over the Jewish nation towards the end of the tribulation. And it will be done by the anointing, by the presence of the Lord. And he gives us a description. It will be like when Gideon killed a Midianite king whose name was Oreb, at the rock Oreb. The word has a meaning of like a swarm of bees or a swarm of flies or something just coming to one place. And that's what the Jewish people will be experiencing in the Great Tribulation. And yet God says he's going to break it. He's going to break it by the anointing. So if the anointing of God can break that kind of a yoke of the Antichrist and the Syrian, and they're going to swarm on him, and the Bible tells us that he's going to, the Antichrist, the Assyrian, is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's commensurate with the second coming of our Lord. And I just thought if when I was praying for people yesterday, if the anointing of God can break a yoke like that, why can't he break these yokes of healing and whatever need there is? So it was a tremendous experience watching people receive an anointing of the Lord. I wanted to say, before I forget it, thanks to everybody for making that service last Sunday what it was. I think it's something that I know the Cohens will never forget. They were so blessed, and they'll carry that message back to Israel. And I just want to thank people for, you know, everybody put a great effort in everything that was done. We had some guests tell us that it was just sure a lot of God's presence there, I've been told, and that the music was so great and so forth. When I was sitting on the front row, the dancers came in, and they were definitely anointing, great music. And I guess it was Jeremy and Jesse's little girl, four-year-old girl, was just, she was the center of attraction right down there where I was at. And I noticed Brother Cohen was taking pictures of her as fast as he could. What is that when God blesses like that? That's the anointing of the Lord. I wouldn't be surprised to see that little girl's picture in a Jerusalem Post with all the pictures that they took. Anyway, the Lord was present. I thought it was a great, great time, and I just want to thank everybody. I'll share a little bit with you, because if you were to study the subject of the anointing, there's approximately 150 verses, references to the anointed or to anoint or the anointing. I know I kind of tried to cover all that area in one track that we have out here called the anointing. And David, I mean, he trusted in God's anointing on his life. That's why he was such a great man. His life reveals that his ultimate confidence was the anointing of God upon his life. Psalm 89:20 declares how God anointed David with his holy anointing oil, and symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit on his life. And in the psalm, we read how God laid help upon him. He just wasn't anointed with oil by Samuel, but the presence of the Lord came on him, strengthened him, protected him from his enemies, beat down his foes, and plagued them who hated him. David himself proclaimed in Psalm 20, verse 6, that it was God's anointing which ultimately protected and saved him. In Scripture, it teaches us that the anointing involves a personal presence of the Holy Spirit. And I trust that's what happened when Jeff and Bill and Dave were praying for these people. They weren't just being anointed with oil, but the presence of the Holy Spirit was coming upon them. It's like he took that sciatic pain out of my life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 28, verse 5 tells us that the anointing involves the works of the Lord, the operation of his hands. See, that's why so many people just have a wrong perspective of how God wants to use them in their life. You know, you study the lives of the early apostles. If you just took the three fishermen that were in business together, it's unlikely that any of those three men even had a high school education. But they had an anointing of God on their life. I'm not against education. I'm for it. But education without the anointing is not going to get the job done. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that gets the job done. Do you realize that those first apostles, even on the day of Pentecost, they called them unlearned men. Yet, look what the miracles they did. It was because of the anointing, the presence of God. I think of the New Jerusalem. It's going to come down and be a part of this millennial earth for 1,000 years. Every time I go in the gate, you're going to have to look at the foundations, and you'll find the names of those three fishermen. The names of the 12 apostles in the foundation of that city. They were anointed by God. And I guess I'm just saying, you don't have to be a Billy Graham to be anointed with God. John the Baptist was anointed and jumping around his mother's womb before he was born. The presence of the Lord is tremendous. David said that was the key to his whole life. He said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in my life, in the presence of my enemies, because you've anointed my head with oil." It was the presence of the Holy Spirit that made David what he was. And I just so appreciate the day I had yesterday, and I thank God for, you know, the great privileges that we have in this country. I mean, the educational institutions that can proclaim the scriptures. And personally, I can thank God for the day the Holy Spirit stepped in my life in April 1961. That anointing, I thank God, has been there for 50 years, and I love the Word of God, and I feel I'm still a rookie, still learning. I think I've left home base, and I'm leading toward first base. Think of what we have to learn. And I have not seen in 1 Corinthians 2:9, nor ear heard, neither thin in the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Proverbs 8, it tells us that the path of God is like a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. I mean, we just begin to learn. We're just beginning to see. I thank God for what the last 50 years has meant to me in studying the Word of God, memorizing hundreds of scriptures. Thank God for the little library I have, some of the great scholars from the Puritan age, from the Reformation, and teachers since then. I just want to say I'm thankful for what God's done in my life. I don't think I've arrived. If there's one thing I want to pray for, and I pray for everybody here today, that I could have a greater anointing on my life. How many want the anointing of God on your life? It doesn't matter who you are. I've always been greatly encouraged by reading a prophet, Amos, as the Jewish people say. Here's what the Dixon Bible writes in summary. I was going to read a little bit about Amos, but here's what they say about him. He was one of the greatest of all the prophets. I love to study the book of Amos. By some, he is regarded as the greatest next to Isaiah and Jeremiah. He brought to Israel no prophetic credentials. The educated priest Amaziah sneered at him and looked upon him as a pretentious, presumptuous upstart. But the prophet was not misled or deceived in knowing that he was divinely called to prophesy to Israel. How often the Lord has laid his hand upon earnest, responsive souls who had not the stamp, the training, and the credentials of a school, but their training was by the presence of the Holy Spirit, where they were anointed to speak God's word. How greatly God has blessed the message of these humble servants that we know full well. And Amos, they say, is an outstanding example of the possession of the great essential, whether one be trained in the school of the prophets or be called from the farm. And he was a man that took care of sycamore trees. The key was he was filled with the Spirit, had the anointing of the Lord upon his life. I remember when God was first dealing with me back in 1961 and turned my life around and things began to happen and gradually the calling to the ministry came on my life. And God wanted to, you know, have me in a position where I could step out. Well, I had to have my finances in order. And I remember so clearly how God gave direction at times. You know, I was in sales and I had leads. I lived in San Jose. I had appointments I could go to up the peninsula towards San Francisco, or I could go south towards Gilroy in that area, Salinas. And I remember gathering with Carol and my two young daughters that were just in elementary school. And I know the key, the anointing of what God can do through a little child. He says, unless you become like a little child, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I remember praying. And I said, you two girls, Cindy and Dylan, you pray. And if Jesus tells you, Daddy, I think you should go south, you tell me. If you think I should go north, you tell me. People laugh at me for this, but it happened. God began to prosper. I was at the right place at the right time. God was getting us ready to come. And it was the anointing that broke the yoke. And look, if you think about selling your house, selling your business, and stepping out and starting a new church, I would not recommend it unless you know the Holy Spirit has told you. When that happened, we sat down, all four of us. I wanted to make sure that Cindy put on paper what she thought. Dylan put on paper what she thought. Carol put on paper what I thought. And we had a consensus, so we stepped out. And God was with us. Boy, I encourage you. This is an hour, isn't it an hour where we need the anointing in America, in the church? The yoke shall be destroyed by the anointing. Think of, when it talks about a yoke, it goes around somebody's neck and it binds, it limits them, it controls them. And so there's a yoke that the enemy wants to put in people's life that controls their thinking, controls their mind. Jerk on him anytime he wants. But the yoke can be destroyed by the anointing. I thank God that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we can experience that anointing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just sense the presence of the Lord right now. It's almost like he's telling me, he's trying to touch somebody's life right now. Hallelujah. You know, when I left this pulpit a couple weeks ago, I was healed. The presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I think we have to remember that the most anointed person that ever walked on the face of this earth was a Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me read this to you. It's always an encouragement to me. The Bible identifies Jesus Christ as the anointed one. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. Christ or Messiah literally contains this meaning, the anointed one. The Messiah was sent into this world to do the work of the Lord, the operation of God's hands. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 spells this out clearly. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me. This is the calling of Christ, to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. Because of the anointing, he was to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for their mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that his people might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Think of, in contrast to the anointing that Amos and millions in the past have had and carry today, you know, the devil would try to slip us in. It's just a matter of getting education. It's what you know. It's what's going to get it done. I think there's a tragedy within the scope of modern-day religion. The adoption and proclamation of humanistic ways and formulas for success, without even a vague mention about the place of God's anointing. I never even understood it as a young child, that it was even available, until I met Full Gospel people, heard the word, the proclamation through the Full Gospel businessmen. In the days of the great administrator Nimrod, back in the book of Genesis, a massive religious ingathering of people occurred at the Tower of Babel. This is in Genesis 10. But it did not occur in conformity with God and his holy anointing, and hence was ultimately judged. We read in Scripture how that the nation Israel often erred in this manner. They looked to the Egyptians, to the world, the other nations for help, ignoring the strength and the help that God wanted to give them through the anointing. I encourage you that the anointing is just not for a few great spiritual leaders. It's for us common people. It's for all of us. How many want a greater anointing on your life? I want people to pray for me at the end of the service. I just found out yesterday, I didn't realize it, I had committed to, they asked me would I teach a class on prayer in their yeshiva starting, I didn't know it was going to start next Monday night. So I got to get out of here and be ready now for Monday night, our teaching session on prayer. Thank God I've got a lot of reserves I can go back to and be prepared. But it's not going to mean anything if I just go down there with a lot of facts. It's got to be the anointing. The anointing will break the yoke. So I'm going to ask prayer. Maybe this will seem kind of unusual, but when I remember this little four-year-old girl up here with the anointing, I thought about a lot of parents. We ought to be praying as a church, and parents and grandparents. These little ones can begin to carry an anointing and be used of God. Maybe when Sandy, when you guys come up, if somebody could, maybe you guys could go down and tell the people, any parents that have preschool children, I just feel to pray for an anointing on their lives. It's something that God wants to do. And we're always here to pray for anybody. But I thank God for all the training and learning we have, but I just want a greater anointing on my life. And I pray that it'll fall on this church and it'll fall on people. Jeff and Sandy, come up and help me. If you're a parent, you've got a preschooler downstairs, If you feel led, go get them. Let's conclude by praying for them that a special anointing will be upon their lives. As my girls grew up, I saw that anointing take over, and it's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Jeff will lead us in a chorus. And